Hello, it's me again. We're certainly having an extraordinary day, and Ray's put us in a place to have more extraordinary. What in all of heaven could have prompted her to go after such a triumph as the ball? What could have depressed her? What could have possessed her? I cannot understand the wretch at all. Women are irrational. That's all there is to that. Their heads are full of cotton, hay, and rags. They're nothing but exasperating, irritating, vacillating, calculating, agitating, maddening, and infuriating hags. Pickering, why can't a woman be more like a man? Yes. Why can't a woman be more like a man? Men are so honest, so thoughtfully square, eternally noble, historically fair. Who, when you win, will always give you your back a pat? Well, why can't a woman be like that? Why does everyone do what others do? Can't a woman learn to use her head? Why do they do everything their mothers do? Why don't they grow up, well, like their father instead? Why can't a woman take after a man? Men are so pleasant, so easy to please. Whenever you are with them, they're always at ease. Would you be slighted if I didn't speak for hours? If I forgot your silly birthday, would you fuss? They're the words of A.J. Lerner in that hymn to him in My Fair Lady. Now, we know that that ends well, but the sentiment, very expressed in fun, and it was a lovely movie, is a sentiment that has been around for a very long time. And for we in the Western world, I want to tell you this, that Aristotle in the 300s BC saw women as subject to men, but higher than slaves. Lacking authority, he believed that the husband should exert political rule over the wife. Among women's differences from men were that they were, in his view, more impulsive, more compassionate, more complaining, more deceptive. But he gave the same weight to woman's happiness as to a man's. Yippee for that. Other influences of our Western mindset. This is Charles Darwin. He said, biologically, women are inferior to men. Men are more evolved. Women's brains are analogous to those of animals, which had overdeveloped sense organs to the detriment of the brain. Regarding marriage, he said that it had advantages because a wife could be a constant companion, a friend in old age, and that a man should be beloved by a wife. In fact, a wife was better than a dog. Ladies, go figure. But I think that we would know that these opinions have lasted forever, and women are still battling the opinions. And we know in large parts of the world, we can laugh now. It's still happening in our country that women are battling to break through that ceiling of inequality and distrust and all those things. But in parts of the world, women are very little better than a dog. But there is another truth, and why we haven't known that within the church, why we haven't known and practiced that for a long time, I cannot tell you. Because in the Old Testament, right at the very beginning of the Old Testament, in Genesis 1 verse 26, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." It is stated at the very beginning, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit said, "Let us make male and female in our image." That means that male and female have the uncorrupted image of God within them. They have the uncorrupted attributes of God. Not the one, but both. So what are the attributes that are said to be womanly, feminine. Well, there's a whole list. I'm only just going to mention a few. Empathy, humility, sensitivity, compassion, caring, gentleness, nurture, mediation. Those are just a few of those. But you know what? God the Father exhibited many of those, and we see them in the Old Testament. I'm going to read a few. How is it that the church fathers didn't take them literally? Isaiah 66, verse 12, God says to Judah, I would extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dangled on her knees. As a mother comforts a child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. That's the mother heart of God speaking. In Isaiah 49, verse 15, God says this to Israel. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. That is the mother's heart. The women that have born children will know that you've got to be very dysfunctional. You've got to be highly damaged for you not to be affected by the fact that you've birthed another human being made in the image of God. Hosea 13:8, God talks like a mother. He gives the image of a mother bear looking after its cubs. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them apart. That ferocious protection of the young is definitely within the female heart. And we don't only have it to our own blood offspring, but we carry it to humankind. And God saw that in animals. He made it in animals, but he made it in woman for sure. And you know what? In men too. Clearly, God has a mother's heart. But God didn't end it there. Something changed when Jesus came to earth and brought the image of God in human form. And that is why the church should have been seeing woman better, because we had a better revelation because of Jesus. Jesus perfectly displayed the full character of God, and he displayed the feminine attributes that men did not think highly of. Luke 13:34 says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. His desire to nurture his people to a better place. What mother hasn't felt that about her children? I, because of my character, sorry about that. We did a personality thing that was part of Steph's. We were having a community outreach meeting this week, and we had a lady talking to us about personalities, and then she described the four personalities, and she made us go and stand in the quadrant that depicted how we saw ourselves. Well, sorry for you, and very sorry for John, possibly, that I stood under the quadrant that is very me, and I can be that mother bear. And I have been that mother bear that would protect. But we all know that feeling of wanting to bring beloved ones close because you know that they are protected in that place. And Jesus felt that often. In 3 years of public ministry, I challenge you not to tell me that he didn't show compassion and care and grace and gentleness. If you remember the woman that had a horrible life of hemorrhaging, which in Jewish culture was was anathema. The compassion that he had for her when she just merely touched his garment. Or the blind people that he healed. Or the fact that you know that in Jesus' time, no rabbi was ever followed by women. It wasn't done. It wasn't allowed. Women stayed at home. They cooked and they minded the children because that was their role. But he so opened his heart to women because why? They represented another aspect of God that had not been allowed to be seen. And he welcomed them and he welcomed children. So that shows that he was another, that there was another whole side to God that the people had not really realized before that. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit embodies everything that is perfectly male and perfectly female. He tells the disciples that he will be sending, this is John 14, verse 27. He tells the disciples that he will be sending the Holy Spirit because he will heal the brokenhearted. In John 16, 7, the Holy Spirit is described as a counselor, a teacher, a mentor. But here's the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. But after I depart, I will send him to you. And in Romans 8, Paul, whoever wrote Romans, we're not sure, describes the Holy Spirit as the one who helps the weak. Does God have a mother's heart? I challenge you out of Scripture to tell me the answer is no. Because when I read Scripture, the answer is absolutely, thoroughly, yes, God loves what women bring to the table. Very strangely, Aristotle did, in his graciousness about looking at men and women and why they existed and for whatever purpose, did have this to say. This is the reason why mothers are more devoted to their children than fathers. It is that they suffer more in giving them birth and are more certain that they are their own. So even he had to admit that there was something to be said in the role that women and mothers play. But that was grudgingly given. God did not grudgingly give woman anything that was less. He gave woman the essence of who he is. And it's time for us to arise in that. It is time to live as people that have the essence of God, that we can be proud of our femininity, our gentleness, our compassion, our kindness, and at times our rage against anything that wrongs our beloved children or that wrongs our beloved family. So, ladies, you know that it's only been fairly recently that Western thinkers have stopped thinking of first and second creations. A lot of that was to do with Darwin. He had this view that men were a primary first creation and they had the brain, you know, they just were given the lion's share of the spoils. And that women and people of color and all kinds of other groups were really second creations. No, thank you. The Bible tells me that God loves who I am because he has made me in his image. So ladies, go out and have a lovely day. Go and be the mother bear if you need to be. Go and be the gentle, kind, compassionate, sweet. And you know what, ladies? Would we want a world? You know, it might be, why can't a woman be more like a man? would we want to live in a world where there were only men in their male format? No, we add color and vitality and essence and sweetness and all of that lovely stuff. So know that you are beloved by God. So Lord, we at the end of the service, we just want to say that we are so grateful that you saw a much wider picture. Thank you that wider picture is being restored to the church. And Lord, we just thank you for women. We know that there are women that grieve. We know that there are women that have regrets. We know that there are women in pain. We know that people suffer mother wounds. But Lord, your picture is so much more than that.